Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 97 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, we don't have much this week because it seems like everybody is on Thanksgiving vacation.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of a bare-bones show, but I guess that's okay. It's a holiday week. Everybody's still like recovering from all of the turkey. We still are comatose from all the food. So yeah, it'll be a quick show this week, I think.
Yet again, this year, we were fighting over mom's stuffing.
We always do. Battle Royal.
It's a tradition in this house. It's like Survivor Series.
Yes, it is the Thanksgiving tradition.
Mom sets down that bowl, and then like you and I just like two ravaged dogs just eyeing each other for that stuffing.
Right, and every once in a while, there will be innocent victims. You know, the fork or the knife may end up in somebody's dome. You know, it goes through a finger, through an eye. It happens. It's all about that stuffing.
The best two ways to support this show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up that Fully Posable Classically Jacked and Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. You can also purchase the Fig Life t-shirt and pin combo for $20, Scott. For $20, you, well, not you, but one of our listeners can have a Fig Life t-shirt and a pin combo.
Yes, when we become global superstars, manufacturing action figure or wrestling figures, I should say, from Mattel and or Figures Toy Company, you're going to want to say, I remember those guys when they had this lowly wrestling figure podcast, and I've got this great collector's item of a shirt and a pin, and I only paid $20. You'll be the envy of all of your future friends.
Your future friends.
Yes, I'm practicing my Don West, so bear with me.
Oh, folks. Dude, you sold everyone on that retro Hasbro t-shirt.
Yeah, no spoilers. We'll get to that conversation.
We'll get into that. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts on fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. Scott, guess what I have in my hand this week? Okay, hold on. Let me clarify.
Dude, this is a family podcast. We don't talk like that. Oh, you met your iPod.
Yes. That's what I was talking about.
Nice job, dude.
Thank you. The title of this one is called Goat.
Uh-oh.
This comes in from C. Langan. I think I know who that is.
Oh, our good friend Connor.
Yep, Pittsburgh Penguins fan, dude.
Yeah, we like him regardless.
Connor says this week, great podcast. Hosts are funny as hell. Segments are enjoyable. And is an awesome listen for all different types of wrestling figure collectors. Hashtag Fig Life.
Nice. Thank you, Connor.
Yes. Thank you, Connor. We appreciate that. You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, you dropped a bombshell last week, and boy, did it take off.
Yeah, completely unexpected. And, dude, very heartwarming. When we talked about the idea for the shirt, I wasn't really sure how the listeners were going to respond. Needless to say, our first shirt right out of the gate is already completely booked up on people being created as Hasbros. We have no more space left. So, Jeff, you had a great idea that on this one, our first listener-inspired shirt, it's going to say Series 1 on it, which means at some point down the road, there will be a Series 2. But that's going to take some time. We're still getting a designer figured out, worked out, pricing all worked out. There's still some design processes that we want to go through with it. And it should be out by WrestleMania. And I'm really looking forward to how it comes out. I just want to say a huge thank you to all of our listeners that made this happen. The feedback we got was amazing. And I know it broke our hearts to have to tell people we're sorry, we're completely booked up. I didn't think it was going to be as popular as it was or take off as quickly as it did, but here we are. We're out of spots. We'll reach out to everybody that is on the shirt shortly to get money collected and get your design preferences locked in. But I can't wait to see how it comes out. And honestly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys for supporting this, making it happen. I couldn't be happier with the whole process and the way it's all coming together. And I think you guys are going to love the shirt.
It was crazy, dude. The show dropped at about 9:30. By 3 o'clock our time, West Coast, California time, it was all booked up. And yeah. And what was funny is I was texting you and I'm like, dude, all 18 spots are filled up. And you're like, screw it, we're going to 25. I'm like, holy crap, dude, what happened to 18?
I think design wise, what makes sense is to fit more listeners on the shirt and to cut out the action mechanism description on the right hand side of the card. So if you flip a Hasbro card over, specifically the Rockers tag team set, you'll see over on the right hand side of the back of the card, it shows you how to do the Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty mechanisms for their figures. So I think it makes sense just to cut that out and fit more listeners in. So like I said, there's still some design processes that we're working out on our side, but those will be done soon and we'll get this shirt rolling. I'm hoping by like February, we should have all of the sketches done, turned in, approved, and shirt in process. So the one thing that you and I discussed, Jeff, is that this shirt, while we wanted to have the design, the card itself on the back of the shirt and kind of a redesigned WFP logo on the left chest, with What a Maneuver, we can only put the design on the front. So this one will just be on the front. And again, we're going to tweak a few things, but dude, it's going to look awesome when it's done. I can't wait to see the finished product.
Oh, I know. And just hearing all the excitement from all of the listeners that got their, yes, that got their names in, as you said, the response was overwhelming. I did not expect that. Like, as I said, 9:30, the show dropped, 3 o'clock, everything is basically booked. And you're like, screw it, put 25 on. And I was like, Scott, can we put 25 on there? And you're all, as well, maybe you need to verify with one of the designers that you could do 25. And you're like, okay, 22.
that was definitely the hard number after it all. And, you know, I said a minimum of 10. Max of 18. I thought we were going to be lucky to get the 10, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But we definitely have the 22. That'll be series one. And at some point down the road, if you guys want, we'll make a series two. No dates or anything. That's just kind of a target that we've got. That was a great idea you had, Jeff, to make a series two. And who knows, maybe we'll start coloring the cards like Hasbro did too.
I got to give it up to Seth Phelps. I was messaging him and we were going back and forth and I said, I'm sorry, man. The card's all filled up. I'm so sorry. He goes, oh, it's okay, man. And I said, but hopefully maybe we can think about doing like something down the road, like a series two or something like that. And he goes, okay, can you make it the green card? I love Seth. That's not the last time you'll be hearing from Seth in this show. I guarantee it.
Oh, there's a little teaser.
Yes. The listener segment will round out the show today. Scott, also, episode 100 is coming up. We would like the listeners to be part of episode 100. And
of course.
I don't mean to steal from Breaker and Bane, but I'm kind of stealing from Breaker and Bane. For episode 100, we would love the listeners to send in a quick little audio thing. Talk about whatever you want. Just don't say we suck, because, well, actually, that'll still make the show. But
yeah, it totally will. But like I said, in episode one, if you go all the way back and you're brave enough to listen to that show, I say it's fine if you hit us with an email or something telling us we suck. Just tell us why. Then we can fix it. And then we're all happy.
Yeah. Telling us we suck does nothing. You have to clarify why we suck.
And we've been fortunate we haven't gotten that email or that audio saying that we do suck. But if you're going to tell us we suck, at least tell us why. Then we can work on it and be better podcasters.
So we just want everyone to send in just like maybe a 2-minute clip, 3-minute clip. All you do is you go onto your iPhone, record a voice message, email it on over to us. We'll get it into the show. We want you guys to get like a quick clip in, talk about figures or talk about us or talk about like whatever you want to. Just keep it under, try to keep it 2 to 3 minutes. It's tough. I know it is. But
yeah, or throw in your favorite figure over the last 100 episodes.
Ooh, good call.
Whatever. Throw us your top five. We love it all. Any feedback is great feedback.
Please send those in. We got to have a deadline. I'm going to probably say December. Let me see. Next week, Scott is episode 98. 99. Try to have everything in by December. Let's go 7th or December 8th, and then we'll get it all into the show for episode 100.
Okay.
Scott, Did you do any Toy Spot in this past week?
You know what? Actually, I did. I went to Target here in Tracy, and they actually had the Revival NXT Elites. They had one of each. No Asuka, no Shinsuke, no NXT Basics. Unfortunately, I was between paydays, and I had to leave them sitting on the peg. So hopefully when I go back this weekend, they're still there. If not, it's okay. I still have the battle packs. I'll live. But yeah, I had to pass on them, dude. But aside from that, no other toy spotting, no Big Lots, no Walmart. It was just Target this week. But yeah, unfortunately, had to leave Revival laying.
Oh, I bet it killed you, dude.
I was not a happy camper, if you can put it that way.
We did do toy spotting also. Saturday, the editor went out and she stopped off at a GameStop because everybody was finding the Series 3 retros at GameStop.
Yes.
So she stopped off at GameStop, and I want to say in Dublin, and she actually found Seth Rollins.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so she picked it up and she goes, "Hey, I found you, Seth." I was like, "Sweet." She goes, "I'm going to hit up another GameStop on the way home." And I said, "Okay, cool." So she was on her way home. She stopped off in San Leandro GameStop, and they had one Dean Ambrose there.
Sweet.
Except the card was mangled.
Oh.
And she goes, "Do you want it?" And I was like, "No, I don't."
Yeah.
She goes, "Okay." So I said, "Well, when you get home and after NXT is over, let's go and hit up more GameStops." She goes, "Okay." So she gets home, NXT finishes up, and we head out to GameStop in El Cerrito.
Dude, where's El Cerrito?
El Cerrito is out by a little bit before Richmond.
Okay.
And I accidentally punched in El Cerrito instead of Emeryville. So we headed out to El Cerrito by accident, walk in, and there's nothing. And I'm like, crap. And I said, "Okay, let's go hit up the Emeryville one." And so we check, they closed at 8 o'clock. We had missed the cutoff by 7 minutes.
But, oh, dude.
I know. So if I wouldn't have punched in El Cerrito, who knows what would have been in Emeryville. So anyways. So yeah, she did pick me up, Seth. I also got to give it up to special guest Sean. He called me on Monday night and he goes, "Hey, they have the NXT Elites here at the Target in Manteca." I was like, "Oh," he goes, "they've got Asuka, Shinsuke, and the Revival." I said, "Pick me up the Revival and Shinsuke."
Nice.
I got him. Dude, the Revival is damn good.
Yeah, I like that the one has the no flips, just fists on the knee pad.
Yep,
good I think call. That's Dawson.
Yep.
Yeah, that is so sweet, dude. They are just killer looking figures. Great elites.
They are excellent elites. The Shinsuke, I'm kind of blah on. I just don't like the face on it. It's funny because it says in the lower right hand corner, his NXT debut was January 4th, 2016. Well,
what?
Yeah, it says 1/4/16. Unless they're doing a British type of date, but it says in the lower right hand corner, it says NXT debut 1/4/2016.
Yeah, they flipped the 4 and the 1.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, he had a match that night, but it was for New Japan against AJ Styles.
Yeah, oops.
Oh, whoops. But what's funny is he's wearing that jacket, and as one of our listeners pointed out, Nicholas pointed out, he's never worn that jacket in WWE. So it was kind of like they made Shinsuke from that night in Wrestle Kingdom when he faced AJ.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, dude. I was like, I don't know about this.
Big error, actually.
A huge error.
But it works out for us. You got a Wrestle Kingdom Shinsuke.
Perfect. It's money in the bank right there, dude.
Exactly.
Scott, we have one thing of news.
One bit of news?
One bit. A tiny smidge.
Should we discuss it?
A swallow.
A what now? Dude, this is a family podcast. I told you already.
No.
I will have you thrown out of here.
No, I'm talking about the bird, dude. I'm talking about the bird, you know.
African or European?
Well, I don't know. Let's get in the news.
You didn't know?
Scott, in the news this week, Tyler Bate, the UK exclusive, is now on ringside. So much for it being a UK exclusive.
Yeah, that went by the wayside pretty quick now, didn't it?
Oh, it sure did. That was quick.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it. I just wish it was Pete Dunne.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, but you know what? That's okay. The more of the guys from that UK cruiserweight come out as figures, I'm completely okay with it. I just really, really want a Pete Dunne figure soon. Hopefully in 2018.
I would put money down on it that he is already planned for 2018.
Yeah, for sure. And then an Aleister Black Elite as well.
That would be sick. With a mechanism that can raise him up.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, make that.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And then a Velveteen Dream from his outfit from NXT. Takeover this past Saturday.
You mean the Rick Rude tights that he displayed?
Yes, phenomenal. Just phenomenal choice of attire for him. Well done.
That was perfect. That match was also excellent, by the way.
Oh my gosh. Blew me away. That was amazing.
It was match of the weekend.
Dude, honestly, it's up there for match of the year.
What?
You don't think so?
I've already got my top four matches already laid out for this year. It could be number five. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate had a really good match at one of the NXTs.
Oh, totally agree. But I'm also putting the NXT TakeOver Chicago match with AOP and DIY.
Oh, that one, yeah, that one was good.
The ladder match, phenomenal match. But we're getting off topic here. We're talking about wrestling now and not action figures.
Yeah, yes. We got to stop that. It's Thanksgiving, dude. We're still in the coma.
Right, exactly. We've lost our minds.
So that was the one bit of news. So that was pretty quick.
Yeah, look at us trying to stretch out the news segment.
Yeah, I know. We go into top five matches of the year.
God, we suck at this. So no Funko, no FTC to report. So that's where it is. That's our news.
Yeah, so it's time to get into nostalgia.
Let's do that. I came to play. There's a price to pay.
Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play. Scott, we are going to hit up Jax Unmatched Fury Series 3. What you got?
Yep, Jax Unmatched Fury Series 3 consisted of Carlito, and he was basically standing holding an apple. You had Jeff Hardy, who was mid-Swanton Bomb. John Cena, who was a repaint of his Series 1, only this time he was wearing the green jorts, or the olive green jorts. And finally, you had Sabu in his classic pointing at the sky, Sabu pose. And that was Jax Unmatched Fury Series 3.
So I didn't mind the guys that were in this at the time. I just didn't understand why they had to throw in another Cena.
Yeah, this by far, if it wasn't for Jeff Hardy, this would easily be my least favorite Unmatched Fury series. Just not a ton of star power here. I mean, Carlito was kind of mid-card. Sabu, okay. Great if you were a big ECW guy. That was an amazing setup right there,
right,
putting Sabu in there. But a Cena repaint already on Series 3?
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
And he was in the same pose, too. That was the other kicker.
Yeah, they didn't even resculpt him. Like, it'd be one thing if they had him, like, doing a salute pose or something, but this was just a straight-up repaint already for Series 3. Not a big fan of this series at all. Obviously, my favorite is the Jeff Hardy. I think catching him mid-Swanton, and it looks amazing when you've got it displayed. It looks great. In the box, packaged up, it looks kind of weird.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it's like he's doing some sort of weird backbend, so maybe there was a better way to position him inside the box. I don't know, but it does look kind of strange. It's not really a great display piece, really, unless you have him out of the package. But he, far and away, is my favorite figure of this set. The Carlito's okay. You know, he's basically standing there holding an apple. The Sabu, like I said, if you're a big ECW guy and Sabu was one of your favorites, you have to add the Sabu to your collection. He looks amazing. Really, really well done. It's his classic Sabu pose. But I just question the star power and the draw of this particular series. That's what kind of brings it down a little bit in my book. And the knife in the heart is really the John Cena repaint. That just doesn't make much sense to me already in Series 3. You're just recoloring his shorts.
See, I didn't mind the Carlito. Because Carlito, as you said, he was a mid-card. But he was, you know, he was on TV every week.
Yeah, that's true.
The pose they had him in where he had his typical blue Carlito shorts on. And
yes,
him tossing an apple up in the air. I thought that was great. I thought that was very, very clever on Jax to do that.
Yeah, it was a cool touch.
Sabu pointing up, I mean, that was just perfect because that was Sabu.
Yeah.
He had on his yellow, man, you can't even call those tights.
Pants? MC Hammer pants?
Chic pants?
Chic pants? Yeah, I guess.
I'm not sure what they're called. I guess you could say MC Hammer pants, but he had on those, and then he had the headdress on, and that was,
yes,
that was Sabu. So I didn't mind the Sabu at all.
Yeah.
And Jeff Hardy, I agree with you about the way he was displayed in the package. It was just weird.
It looked awkward. It looked very uncomfortable.
Right. But you know what? That was the hardest one to find.
Yeah, far and away, one of the most difficult ones to find was that Jeff Hardy.
I think I saw it once at KB Toys in Stone Ridge, and I passed on it, and I never saw it again.
Yeah, well, these were expensive, too, so unless you were making some good coin back in the day, a lot of these you were passing on. Jeff Hardy, your favorite out of this one, too?
Oh, yeah, hands down.
Display-wise, probably Sabu was the best in terms of in the packaging, but out of the packaging, Jeff Hardy was just awesome. But that was the problem. You had to open him up.
Scott, we're burning through this podcast today, man.
Yeah, we're getting through it kind of quick.
We're about to
We're ready to go to sleep after all that turkey.
Tryptophan, baby.
I love it.
All right, we're about to slow things down with your secret question.
All right.
Scott, I know you're lazy today because of the turkey that we are that we gorged on.
Fat and lazy, yes.
We are both of those things right now. So this is going to be kind of an easy question, but you just kind of have to work your way through it a little bit.
Okay.
So this past week was Survivor Series.
Yes.
The Raw men's team and the SmackDown men's team, 10 guys total.
Yes.
On SmackDown, it was Cena, Rude, Nakamura, Shane, Randy. On Raw, it was Braun, Triple H, Kurt, Balor, and Joe. We all watched it. Now, you have to go through each guy and tell me their best figure.
Oh, Lord. You're really trying to make this go 2 hours this week, aren't you?
Chapter one, go.
Yeah, jeez. Finn Balor, I'm going to go his Elite, I believe it was Elite 41, his first Demon figure.
You're correct.
Okay, that is my favorite Finn. Samoa Joe.
I think you're going to have to go back to TNA on that one.
No, I actually liked his Elite.
Oh, did you?
I did. I actually like that Elite figure. I still have it in the package. I got it at Big Lots for $10. But the more I look at that figure, I'll sit on my computer and kind of glance up at my figures every now and then. And the more I look at that Samoa Joe, the more I like it. I think it's a cool Joe figure, so I'm going to go with that one. I don't remember which Elite series he was in off the top of my head, but Samoa Joe's first Elite. I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
Triple H. Oof. I'm going to go Triple H, his entrance great from WrestleMania 22 from Mattel.
Oh, good call.
I was there, so it holds a lot of value for me based on that. That's going to be my favorite.
Good call. I didn't even think of that one.
Kurt Angle. The Kurt Angle Deluxe Aggression when he's in his black singlet. I don't know which series that was, but it was made by Jax. I would say it came out around 2006, 2007, somewhere in there. I'm going to go with that one. I loved the packaging, but the figure is awesome.
Good call on that one. That one's really good, too.
Let's see. And then we have Braun Strowman. Has there been an awesome Braun figure yet?
An awesome one? No.
There hasn't really been. They either make him smiling or it doesn't capture his current look. I guess I'll go Braun that comes with the stretcher. He's probably sitting on most of your store pegs right now. And I think only because it captures his current look. I'm still not a fan of the face. It's like he's got like a smirk on his face or a weird smile. I don't know what it is.
I would have gone with his first Elite. I want to say it was Elite 44 with the black sheep mask.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. But I like his current look way better. So I'm going to go with his most recent Elite that comes with the stretcher. But I'm hoping that they come out with maybe a more meaner looking Braun.
Okay.
It's almost like Santa Braun, right? He's like kind of smiling a little bit, it looks like. And he's a big hulking dude. Yeah, I'm hoping for more mean-looking Braun figures in the future. But if I had to pick a favorite right now, probably his most recent Elite, just because it captures his current look. Going across the ring, there's only really one Bobby Roode until we see what his entrance grate looks like. So I guess I'm going to go... He had a TNA figure, right?
He did. He was part of Team Canada.
Yeah, and if I recall correctly, he had longer hair on that one, and it was a good figure.
Yeah, he also... I want to say he also had some Jax figures, too. That was part of TNA.
I'm going to go with his original one. The original TNA figure.
That's the one I was going to go with.
Yeah, I'll pick that Bobby Roode. Randy Orton. You know what? I really like that new one that's coming out in his cut-off like hoodie thing. That's at like a WrestleMania 34 series, an Elite.
Yeah.
I really like that Randy Orton figure a lot. I like the clothes that it comes with. I like that it comes with the championship belt. I think it really captures that Randy Orton well. So I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
In fact, if I get another Randy figure, it's going to be that one. Shane McMahon.
He had a Jax Classic.
He did, but I've got to say his Mattel ringside exclusive in the red jersey.
You like that one?
I do.
Oh.
So I'm going to pick that one as my favorite Shane. Nakamura. I guess I got to go Defining Moments.
See, I was thinking that too, and then I was like, I got to go back to that statue that came out.
See, I don't have that though. I've literally never held that statue to actually get a good look at it. So my answer might change if I ever was able to look at it. I've only seen pictures, and it looks amazing, but I'd rather go off of figures that I've actually seen. Well, technically, I haven't held that Randy Orton yet. But yeah. Based off of pictures, it looks really good, but I actually have that Defining Moments Nakamura. I think I've got to go with Defining Moments Nakamura.
Okay.
With the statue, like, based on pictures, a very close second. That leaves...
Cena. Throw a rock.
Dude. How many Cenas are we up to now? 1,063?
You're lowballing that one.
Gosh, man. So many Cenas. You know, a lot of the elites that have come out lately have been really well done. But, man, overall, gosh, he's had a few defining moments. You know, the one that I really like is, I don't remember which Elite series it's in, but it's the Cena that comes with the United States title.
Where he was prototype?
No. No, not the prototype figure. That one's really good, too.
Elite 40.
Okay. Yeah, I remember because I got that one at Big Lots for $10, too. Yeah, he's got like neon green on his shoes.
Yeah.
And he comes with the U.S. title. That Cena is excellent. So I'm going to go with that one as my favorite Cena figure.
That's actually a good Cena figure. I stopped buying Cena figures after his prototype came out, the Toys R Us exclusive. I was like, I cannot get any more Cena figures. And then I saw that Elite 40, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
That one just caught the eye of how well it's done.
Yeah, that's a really, really good Cena figure. Honorable mention goes to his Defining Moments where he was in the orange.
You like that one?
I do like that one. I wasn't a fan of the black shirt one because I thought that one was kind of a cash grab.
Right.
But the orange top one, that one I do like. And I do like his prototype figure a lot.
The prototype figure is probably my favorite Cena.
Yeah, that one is so good.
The Unmatched Fury, I do like.
Yeah, that's a really good one too. But I think I'm more limiting it to figures and not statues. And that's more of a statue to me. And it sucks we don't have more Nakamura figures to pick from.
Just give it time.
Yeah, I want 2018 to change that. I want a plethora of Nakamura figures.
Just give it time. I have a feeling we're going to be doused with him here shortly.
Yeah, he'll be the new Cena.
Well, I think AJ's the new Cena right now. They're ramping up on AJ's.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing at all. The more AJs, the better.
Wholeheartedly agree. Scott, we are going to round everything out with the listener segment this week. So, Scott, let's hear from the listeners. Scott, this week we got a couple of audio questions, actually one audio question, and a little bit of a toy spotting story from Seth Phelps. He didn't write in this time. He decided to audio file it in. So let's hear Seth's toy spotting story.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Jeff. This is Seth Phelps, better known as the Hale husband of Instagram's Chick Foley. Back with another failed adventure at Target. So this was another one for the record books. This is the same Target that brought me out the 6-month-old case of Elite 44 that I promised to put on the pegs and then promptly walked away from. This is also the Target that I had to deal with 3 different customer service employees and the manager just to get the NXT Series 1 case brought out from the back. So I got a bit of a history here. On Wednesday afternoon, me and Sheena, we decided to go do some toy spotting since the little guy, the baby face, was feeling a little restless. So we got out of the house, hit a few stores, and we went to our Target that's basically, you know, a mile away from our house. So we hit it all the time. There's never anything there, but you know, with toy hunting, you always got to be hopeful. We get there hoping to see Hall of Fame 5 on the pegs, of course, the tag team champions of peg warming, Jimmy Hart and Tito Santana. There's a customer associate right at the end of the aisle, and I ask him very politely if he could scan and see if they have any more Hall of Fame figures in the back. So he scans and says they have 8 more in the back. So obviously that piqued my interest because I know they come 8 to a case. So I'm just doing a little simple analysis here, and I'm thinking there's a brand new case of Hall of Fame 5 sitting in the back just waiting to be open. So when I ask him to go to the back and get it for me, though, he says they have a new policy and they're not allowed to take those out until everything sells on the shelf. I got a little bit agitated with him, and he asked for their team lead to come by. So I'm assuming this is the guy who runs the toy department there. So he comes over and says the same thing about how they're not allowed to pull figures from the back anymore because, you know, it'll mess up their system or something, which didn't make a lot of sense. He said they had to wait until they sell all of the Tito Santanas and Jimmy Harts from the back. I explained to the guy that I've been coming to this Target multiple times a week, and those Tito Santanas have been sitting there on the shelf for pretty much over 2 years, not moving at all. And they're going to be there another 2 years unless Target, you know, marks them down to $5 or something. He tried to explain to me that kids come in looking for that Tito Santana figure, and then Sheena, by this point, walks up and just shuts him down and says, no, we come here all the time. This figure never sells. It's basically melting the pegs. So we go back and forth, back and forth. I asked the guy if I buy every Tito Santana figure and walk out the store, and then Sheena asks him if they'll bring out the new case, and he says yes. Being dead serious, he doesn't see the ridiculousness of the situation. Me and Sheena are both getting more and more frustrated. I finally tell the guy, hey, you know what? If you bring out the case from the back, I'll buy every figure they have. I don't care what it is. So when I say this, the guy finally just gets fed up with me and Sheena and agrees to go and get them. So we think, wow, we're actually going to get a brand new case, a Hall of Fame 5. I'm thinking I'll buy the extras and just, you know, either sell them to some of my friends here locally for whatever I paid for them or figure out something to do with them. He's gone for about 5 minutes, and finally I see him start walking back carrying a big stack of Hall of Fame figures. So I'm excited. I'm thinking I'm about to get my new Diesel, my new Roddy Piper, my new Jake the Snake. He turns the corner to the aisle. I look down, and all I could do was laugh. I honestly couldn't believe my eyes. It was 8 more Tito Santana figures. If it wasn't for the baby face, you know, quietly making some noise and stuff in his stroller, I would have thought that I was in some kind of toy spotting nightmare. I really couldn't believe my eyes. So that means there's now 12 Tito Santanas on the pegs at my local Target. If what the guy's saying is true and they're not going to order anymore until they sell these, you know, I don't think we're ever going to see another new Hall of Fame figure as long as we live here in Hawaii. It was disgraceful. Me and Sheena just laughed. We threw our hands up. And the manager, he still actually wanted us to buy the figures like we said we would. If the baby face was a little bit bigger and stronger, I think me, him, and Sheena probably would have hit a shield power triple power bomb on the guy right there in the aisle. But I decided not to get violent, and just to avoid any additional awkwardness, I said, all right, you know what, man, I'll take 3 or 4 of these, just so the guy didn't feel like he totally got punked out by us. So we grabbed a handful of Tito's, promptly walked over to the drugstore section of our Target, and we left all the Tito's right there with the X-Lax, because all these figures are doing is clogging Target's shelves. You know, the political climate in our country is pretty crazy right now. You know, everybody's worried about potential nuclear war with North Korea. Living in Hawaii, we're one of the first places it'll get hit. But I can guarantee, even if everyone on the island of Oahu gets wiped out, there will still be Tito Santana figures sitting on the shelves at Target. They're basically like death and taxes at this point, as far as one of the few things you can count on no matter what. So just thought you guys like to hear more of, you know, my follies at Target. I'm going to keep bugging those guys, even though they're probably going to be waiting for me with cuffs next time I walk in the store. Still loving the show. It's my favorite part of every Sunday, and I'm looking forward to hearing the 100th episode. Thanks, guys.
Seth, man, stand-up comedy. Look into it, bud. You're awesome. That was a great audio right there. I love it.
We actually received that question last week after we had recorded. And so I listened to it at the office and I was dying. So special guest Sean comes back in from dropping a deuce. And I'm like, dude, you've got to hear this story. So I play it for him in the office and he is dying, dude. Like, he thought that was one of the funniest things in the world, dude. Like, you and I were laughing about it right now.
Oh, that's phenomenal. That's so great. Oh my gosh.
Seth, thank you for sending that in. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Sheena and Babyface over there in Hawaii. Scott.
Thank you, Seth.
Our next audio comes in from good old buddy Travis Fowler. What has Travis got to say?
Hey guys, it's Travis. Calling you on my lunch break. Did a little toy spotting pickup. Thought you guys would appreciate. So, like Scott, back in the day before internet and all of that, for my Jax figures, I would call on the phone to find out if they had the new figures in. And then when my benefactors came home from work, we would drive around to the various Walmarts, Meijer, and a couple Toys R Us and KB Toys, and I would go pick them up. Now, I didn't get to the extent of having a hookup at every place, but I was not ashamed to call around and find my figures, which leads me to my toy spotting today. On Thursday, I saw that the Series 3 Hasbro Retros were hitting GameStop, so I stopped at my local GameStop and saw that they had Goldberg. Picked up Goldberg Thursday night and was talking to the employee, the representative, and he did a SKU check for me and found that all of our local GameStops within the Dayton, Cincinnati area had got one. And it was just a general SKU. So he gave me the list of all the stores, and I called them one by one and found out which store had which figure, and they shipped them to my local store. So now it's Monday, and I have all of Series 3 Retros by calling a dozen stores and picking them up. Scott, I hope you're proud, because you were not the only one to do this. And now I saved a whole bunch of gas, and I have all of Series 3, so pretty proud what I've done. Now I don't have to worry about Series 3, and I'm on to Series 4. Leaving, I have a Mark question. Survivor Series was this past weekend. Thanksgiving is coming up this week. What are your guys' favorite Survivor Series moments? Or your favorite Survivor Series moment? Undertaker showing up? Or that big egg opening and the gobbledygooker coming out? I mean, the possibilities are endless. Even the screw job. Let us know. Keep up the great work. Love the show. And I will talk to you guys later. Bye.
I think that brings back such memories of calling down to Toys R Us all the time. I remember, Scott, and I mentioned this on the show before. I used to wake up before you on summer vacation, and I would go downstairs and watch Jetsons or whatever cartoons was on. And I remember I would go back upstairs right as you were starting to wake up, maybe I would say around 10, 10:30. And as I would pass your room, you'd be like, hey, did you call Toys R Us? And I'm like, no, I haven't called them yet. And you're like, dude, what are you doing? Call Toys R Us. I'm like, okay. And so I would have to call Toys R Us at 10:30. And they would be like, no, we haven't gotten anything in. Then you would do the afternoon call at about 3 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock to see if a truck had shown up.
Yes, because you can't be the same voice calling back. Otherwise, they're like, didn't you call here earlier? Then they get annoyed, see? So when they ask you, you can be honest, be like, no, that wasn't me. That might have been my brother, but that wasn't me.
Yeah, it was so funny, dude, because Toys R Us would open at 9:30 or something like that. And I didn't call when they first opened. And like, you would be on me like first, because I would go upstairs after cartoons were over or something like that. And I would want to play an RC Pro-Am on Nintendo or something like that.
Yes, going old school.
You were like, yep. You were like, dude, did you call Toys R Us? And I'm like, no, I haven't called them yet. Call them. Call them. See if they got a truck. Okay. I call. Usually nothing. And then you would call right after AWA was over on SportsCenter.
Yep. It was over at 2 o'clock. Started at 1. And I'd immediately be on the phone with Toys R Us, calling and bugging them, seeing what they got in. But yeah, we were relentless in our pursuit of LJNs, dude. We had to be.
So Travis, you made us proud over here, calling over and getting all those retros.
Yeah, I love it. And it goes back to the thrill of the hunt. You know, you're not buying them online, having them shipped right to your door. You're actually out hunting figures down. And more power to you, saving gas and having them ship it to another GameStop. You still had to go pick those up. So that's awesome, dude. I love it.
Yep. Okay, now, Survivor Series. We kind of have to... What were some memorable moments? He nailed it with the screw job. The screw job was, like, probably number one on a lot of people's lists.
Wait, when screw job, which one? Do you mean Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart?
Yes, that one.
See, when I hear Survivor Series screw job, I think when Ric Flair slid the chair into the ring and Undertaker tombstoned Hogan on top of the chair.
That's a good one, too.
That's the screw job that I first remember, dude.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Then the infamous one, of course, happened 5 years later, but that's the one that I'm like, oh, man. Like, that to me was like an OMG Survivor Series moment.
Okay. I like what you did there. That was kind of weird that Undertaker was champ all of a sudden. It was like, whoa, I did not expect that.
Nobody saw that coming. It was Hogan. Like, nobody beats Hogan.
Owen attacking Brett in 93?
Yeah.
When they had to face Shawn and the Knights?
Yep.
What other ones?
Randy Savage eliminating Diesel. I believe in 93.
Oh, wow.
At dude. The Survivor Series. That was shocking because everybody was like, oh, okay, WWF is pushing this monster Diesel. He's going to lay hell of people out. He's going to have hell of eliminations. And Macho Man runs in and drops him with an elbow and kicks him out of the match. I was like, whoa, that was shocking. Because you could see what they were doing with Diesel. They loved the big man. They still do. and you could just see how they were getting the machine behind him. And they had Macho Man kick him out of the match. That was really shocking. But the biggest one for me is when Undertaker beat Hogan. I did not see that coming, dude. And I kind of, back in 92, kind of considered myself like, oh, I can see everything coming. I know what's going on. That one completely blindsided me. I figured Undertaker was another flash in the pan gimmick going to disappear. And then they put the strap on him. That blew me away.
I'm trying to think of others that I guess Rocky's first time.
That was really shocking. The fact that he came in as kind of a new face and they had him win that match, that was really, really, really shocking. I did not see that one coming either. I thought he was going to be like the first one out.
Kurt Angle's first match was at a Survivor Series?
Yes, it was.
Those are some memorable moments.
But yeah, aside from the screw job, which I think that's pretty much everybody's because that was just, it's probably the biggest moment in Survivor Series history. But for me, it was when Undertaker beat Hogan. And that kind of kicked off Taker's legacy.
Wasn't there a Survivor Series team? It was Shawn and Hunter with CM Punk. Was it the Hardys that was on that team also?
Yes. DX, the Hardys, and CM Punk.
That was like a super team, dude.
And they all survived.
They all survived, dude. It was a super team.
Yeah, it was a clean sweep.
Like, I don't even think Hogan had a team that dominant.
Oh, are we going to talk a dominant team? Like piecing five guys together. By the way, I have my Survivor Series date wrong. It was not 92. That would have been the year that the Ultimate Maniacs were supposed to be involved. I was thinking Survivor Series 91 when Undertaker beat Hogan. My apologies on the date.
We thank you for the apology.
Well, I would have been corrected next week. So there you go. Correcting myself now.
We would have gotten blown up on Twitter.
Which I love. I love when people are like, guys, wrong date.
Yeah, that was like a super team, dude. You had DX with the Hardys and CM Punk.
That's probably the biggest dream team in Survivor Series history.
Seriously.
I can't think of one that was bigger than that.
Scott, this week we got another we got another question from Josh Thompson. He sent in another one.
Sweet.
I love these weekly ones from Josh Thompson.
It gives us material. I love it.
Yep. He said, hey guys, this is something that came to me a while back. Figures Toy Company wrestling action figures, ROH Legends, Stars of, were sold in stores. Which stores would you like to see them in? I think they would sell best at George's Collectibles. Nothing on Toys R Us, but I feel as though they wouldn't do so well due to the fact that the kids might not know who they are. Unless there are a few hipster kids who watch ROH and NJPW. I'm not sure which George's is. We don't have any around here.
No.
I don't know if they would sell well at like a Walmart or a Target or...
No, you've got to have national TV. Before you can sell action figures in the mass market, like your Toys R Us's and your Targets and your Walmarts, you've got to be on national television. Until that happens, Figures Toy Company is going to be relegated to like the Fight Shop in Las Vegas, comic book stores, their own website. But once these brands get bigger... then I think maybe, like, I don't know. You know, Toys R Us has a collector section. So maybe when the brands themselves get bigger, they could do well in the Toys R Us, like, collector section, but not with the wrestling figures. They're packaged different. They look different. And it is more of a collector's item than just a basic action figure. So maybe they do better in the collector section of, like, a Toys R Us. But I can't see Walmart or Target, really.
Yeah, I just don't know how they would do. And unfortunately, I could see them sitting on shelves at Walmart or a Target in Toys R Us. Because, like you said, they just don't have that national television.
Yeah, without that, I think it really hurts the product. And I'd hate to see that happen. I don't want them to be peg warmers at stores.
Right, right. So that's a good question from Josh.
It's a great question.
I like his weekly questions. He actually sits back, thinks about them, and forwards them over to us.
Keep them coming.
Please do. We love these. And Scott, the last question this week comes from good old buddy James Frank. Happy Thanksgiving to James and Shannon down in Los Angeles. He said,
yes, sir.
Question for this week. What toys did you bring to school? Any stories about playing with toys at school and ever get in trouble or caught when you shouldn't be playing with toys at school? The sadistic laugh tells you all.
Yeah, I remember G.I. Joe specifically. I had this little Batman book bag and it had a little clasp on one side and you undo the clasp and open it up. It was like basically like a big like mail bag or satchel type bag. And had Batman and Robin on the front. Dad was on to me from the moment I left my room. I had taken all of my G.I. Joe figures, which was probably at that time, I'm thinking like 1983, it was probably about 30 figures. I took all the figures, all their guns, and dumped them inside my book bag. And I leave my room, and I think Dad was on to me from the moment I left my room. We get downstairs, we're about ready to walk out the door. Dad stops, turns around, looks at me and goes, son, what's in your bag? And I kind of stop dead in my tracks thinking I'm going to get off clean on this one. And then he catches me and I'm like, nothing. He goes, son, open your bag. Take the bag off my shoulder, undo the clasp, lift the top. And there's like 30 G.I. Joe figures sitting in there, all their guns and everything are with them. And he kind of looks in and he looks at me and I knew what he was saying without him saying a word. He just looks at me and he goes, okay, close your bag, let's go. So I'm looking at him like, this is awesome. But I knew what he was saying. When he looked at me, he was saying, I'm going to let this slide, but if you lose one of these figures, it's on you. I knew that's what he was saying without him saying it. Needless to say, I went to school and I came home. I open up my bag. I dump them out. There's 29 figures in the bag.
Uh-oh.
I will never forget. It was Flash. Not the superhero Flash, but Flash from the G.I. Joe series, who was like their laser guy.
Uh-huh.
And he had this like red chest protector thing on and these red leg protector things. Kind of a cool looking figure. And he was like their laser gun guy. He went missing and I never found him.
Oh.
And that was my fault because I took all my figures to school. My dad didn't yell at me. Dad didn't say a word. He just let me go and let me learn that lesson on my own. Never again after that day did I take toys to school, ever. That was like, it wasn't the first time I had done it because they had let me take like Batman dolls or whatever to school, you know, but only like one or two maybe. But this was the first time they busted me taking more and I lost one and I never did it again. I learned my lesson the hard way.
So did mom and dad ever replace the Flash figure?
I started getting an allowance, I would say around 83 or 84. And, you know, I'd have to do things like dust and vacuum and take out the garbages and cat box or whatever. And I think I was getting like $3 or $5 a week, something like that. And so I ended up replacing Flash on my own. They didn't buy them for me. I replaced them on my own.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Yep. Story of my life. Learning lessons the hard way.
So the only time I would ever take toys to school, or actually I was allowed to take toys to school, was for show and tell. And in first grade, I don't remember who my teacher was, but we were allowed to do show and tell once a month or something like that. So I used to take in Transformers. I used to take in wrestling figures, and I had to get up in front of the class and talk about these things. For show and tell, I'm talking about Andre the Giant with this big fro, and why is he half naked? I don't know. But I would always take those. But a funny thing was, is the day of my graduation in high school, Nathan made a we got one of those smiling face balls. You know, those like stress balls that people use in their hands or for arthritis or anything like that?
Yes.
So they had a smiley face ball. Well, Nathan was so good, he used to do Mankind's mask over the ball. So on the day of my graduation, in one pocket, I had that Mankind ball because I used to take it with me everywhere. And then in the other pocket, do you remember those small miniature figures that, I don't remember who put them out, but they were wrestling figures and they were small, but they would stand on a base and the base would have a sticker with the guy's name on it. And then the guy would be on the top of the base.
The muscle guys?
They weren't muscle guys. They were back in around 96, 97. They made Brett, Sean.
Oh, the Playmates ones.
Yeah.
Yes. And they were like big heads, right?
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. And they were in a little ring. I know which ones you're talking about.
Yep. So I had the Mankind ball in one pocket and I had Brett in the other. So we're about to go up on the stage and someone looks at me and says, "Do you have anything in your pockets?" And I looked at him and I said, "Yes." And I'm like, "I'm about to graduate. Why did I say yes?" And they're like, "What do you have?" And I hand over this Mankind ball and the Bret Hart toy. And the person looks at me like, the immaturity on this person. You
know? How dare they?
So they said, "You can get it back tomorrow." And I was like, "I'm graduating today. I don't plan on coming back here at all." You know?
Yeah, this is kind of my last day here, guys.
So I go through the graduation. Sure enough, I drove back to Arroyo that following day and had to get my Mankind ball and my Bret Hart figure back.
Probably more for the Bret Hart figure.
No, actually, I love that Mankind ball. Unfortunately, I do. Unfortunately, through all the times I've moved, I've lost it. So, yep. So that's kind of that was my graduation story where I had that Mankind ball and the Bret Hart figure in one pocket.
Well, let's not forget that time that you took Razor's gold chain to school and gave it to Nathan.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, let's not forget about that one, Jeff.
Oh, my God, dude. I was talking to Nathan about that the other day, actually.
Yeah, still not forgiven.
Luckily, I got it back from Nathan.
Yes, you did, because you would have like lost a limb or two. Oh, when you came home that day from school, if you didn't come home with that razor chain.
It's so funny, dude, because Nathan, I'll be talking to Nathan, and Nathan doesn't listen to the show. He doesn't know how to use the internet or anything.
Right. He doesn't even know what a podcast is.
Yeah, exactly. So I was telling him, I was like, "Hey, dude, we were talking about the razor gold chain," and he started laughing because he knew exactly what I was talking about. And he goes, "Dude, Scott's still talking about that?"
Yeah, Scott's still talking about that.
And I was like, "Yeah, dude." He goes, "Dude, he cannot let go of some stuff."
No, there are certain things I can't let go of. Razor chain, Kiss figures, things of this nature.
So, Scott, real quick, do you want to express feelings?
Feelings. I absolutely loved the NXT show from this past Saturday. I thought Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream, I mentioned it earlier, okay, maybe not match of the year, but when you put 10 matches on paper from 2017, that match is going to be on the list for sure. Aleister Black was already made. Now you can add Velveteen Dream to the list of guys that are now made. That just put him on the map. His ring gear was amazing. I think his first figure should be an Elite with that ring gear, and that will make 2018 perfect. I loved all of the matches from start to finish. The Ono Sullivan match was great, hard hitting, all the way to the War Games match, which was BS crazy. Just loved that card. I loved that Almas won the championship. I couldn't stand the guy when he was a face, but now that he's swerved heel and he's got Vega with him, oh my gosh, what a tandem. That guy is a superior talent. I thought he was going to get called up to the main roster and just be enhancement. I'm so happy they reinvented him, and now he's their champion. I love that NXT women, five of them, have now hit the main roster between Raw and SmackDown. They've called up a Tommy to 205 Live. I think that's great. Great move. I'm just excited, dude. I love where everything's heading now. Survivor Series was a decent card. Not my favorite Survivor Series by any stretch, but it was good. I like the Braun Strowman Triple H stuff they did towards the end. Love that Triple H kind of walked into a wall afterwards to sell all of it too. I thought that was pretty funny. it was a good card. The New Day match to me kind of stretched on a little bit longer than I think it had to. It was good, not great. I think NXT was better overall. That was the better wrestling show from over the weekend. But I loved Raw, loved SmackDown. Just loving wrestling right now, dude. All good things, definitely.
By the way, did you see when Drew McIntyre got hurt?
No, I didn't see it. I mean, obviously I saw the match, but I didn't catch a specific spot where he hurt himself.
So it was on the part where he was, it was actually in the final spot where Almas did the DDT off the top, but the way Drew's was holding the top rope, you could tell that when he dropped, it didn't look right. But when he got pinned and he sat up, you could see his bicep roll up into his arm.
Ew.
Yeah. They called in the doctor and I was like, something isn't right. And then he kind of held his arm out. And if you noticed, if you compared his two arms, you could see where his bicep had rolled up into his arm.
Wait, that was the spot in the corner where they botched the DDT, right?
Correct. It was the final spot. It was where he pinned him. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, okay.
You could see where the bicep had just rolled up into his arm. I was like, oh no.
Oh,
and sure
crap.
Enough, Triple H said that there might have been a bicep tear.
Oh man, poor Drew, dude.
I knew it right away too, because I know somebody that has a torn bicep right now. And he can't, unfortunately can't get it surgically repaired.
So was he going to lose the belt anyway, or did he lose because of that tear?
No, he was going to lose it anyways.
Okay. That guy's main roster ready. I think NXT was just a quick little pit stop for him. Throw the belt on him, establish him, move him up. That guy is main roster ready, and I don't think he's going to come back to NXT, dude. I think he's going straight to SmackDown or Raw.
The other thing I wanted to say is kudos to Jeff Cobb, who is killing it in NJPW's World Tag League going on right now.
Oh, good. Obviously, I'm not paying attention to it, but I'm glad that you are. Yeah, I'm glad he's over there.
Him and Elgin, they're a great team together, but Jeff Cobb is just, he's putting on a show for everyone over in Japan, and it's stuff we've already seen over here in the States.
Yeah, we kind of already know how good that guy is.
Yeah, but he's getting notoriety over there, and the crowds are loving it. So
that's great.
Kudos, and we get an FTC figure of him, hopefully soon.
Yeah, very soon. Very soon we'll have a Jeff Cobb FTC figure.
Yep. And again, thank you to everyone that reached out to us and got on the Hasbro shirt.
Coming soon. We'll have some things locked in this week and next week. So yeah, stay tuned for updates. Of course, as we get them, we'll feed them to you guys either through Twitter or on the show. But thanks again, guys. The outpouring, the jumping on for the whole shirt bandwagon, it's rolling straight ahead, and you've pretty much forced a series too. So stay tuned.
Also, if you guys would like, you can go to whatamaneuver.net, pick up the Fully Posable Goes Retro, Fully Posable Classically Jack t-shirt, or you could get the Fully Posable Fig Life t-shirt or pin combo for $20. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts. We have an interview with Zack Ryder that you can go and download.
The Zack Ryder.
Yes. WWE Zack Ryder.
Yeah, not some guy off the street named Zack Ryder. The legit Hasbro collecting Zack Ryder.
Yeah, I called someone. I was like, is this Zack Ryder? They're like, no, it's Rack Zider. I was like, I got the wrong guy.
Yeah, we had the wrong guy.
You can go back and listen to any of our past episodes. FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes. Please write and review on iTunes like Connor Langan. Thank you, Connor.
Thank you, Connor.
You can send in any audio questions or any audio things at all, like Seth and Travis did tonight, or questions like Josh Thompson is doing, like he's killing it, or questions at all on our Twitter, like James Frank. But you can send in those audio questions to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, time for a nap.
Yeah, a slumber or a really small coma.
I feel bad for my toilet.
Why? You have a bidet on it.
Oh, yeah, that's true, huh?
Yeah, keeps everything clean.
So Scott, for episode 97, anything else?
Yes, before I get into the happy toy hunting part, follow Pollyanna. I told you guys, stay tuned. He's got the Hasbro Macho Man, the one that had the hat, the white jacket. He's got that pin up for pre-order right now. So head over to Pollyanna, hook yourself up. Happy toy hunting.
#FigLife. Adios.